Language is a fun thing to play with. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with the Instant Illumination. Language is a fun thing to play with. We were just talking about teleporting and driving. And we were thinking, well now, is teleporting driving and is driving teleporting? And we said, no, teleporting is being there. That's the ultimate. You know, that's the, you think your thought and it's done. You don't have to worry about gas or oil or repairs or tires or anything. You're just being there. Now, if you choose to go in your car because you choose to teleport slowly and you want to enjoy the scenery as you go along, then what do you do? Well, you can have your car float in the air or whatever. And what about when you want to go to the bathroom? Well, have your car be a bus, and then you have a bathroom on the bus. Or have yourself not need to go to the bathroom until you arrive where you're going, if such is your choice. And what about some sandwiches or hamburgers along the way? Well, when you want them, just manifest them in front of you. And just park in some lovely spot between cities, and park there, and be next to a lovely lake, lovely trees, beautiful little creek, and you sit on the ground, and what do you sit on? A beautiful bear rug, you know, just as comfy as can be. And you sort of lay back and say, and what happens? Now, if you are gauche, you will create people serving you. And if you are a master, you create yourself having whatever you want, when you want it, the moment you want it, it's right there before you. You say, I like to eat. And so, in front of you, what do? You create something to eat. You create yourself a lovely whatever you're going to eat. And, thank you. And as you create something that is lovely that you're going to eat, then what do? You just eat it. And do you think about chewing it 20 times each mouthful? Or do you just eat it to love the taste, to enjoy the taste? And you don't even think of your swallowing it. You don't think of your digesting it. You don't think of any of those things. You just do it. You see, to be a master, it means you unlearn all the things you're learning. I wouldn't do that. All the things you're learning while you're learning to be not a master. You're born a master. You're born to know, be, do, have everything all done. And then you see how your mom and dad do it. They go to the store and buy things and buy food and buy diapers and buy stuff like that. And you just say to your mom and dad, and they don't understand you yet because your language is so superior to theirs. And you say, Mom, why are you putting that new piece of cloth on my bottom all the time? You know, I'd rather have none. And then Mama says, I've got to do this. I don't want to have you shit on the floor, you know. And, is that what you think I'm supposed to do? Okay. So you teach the baby how to make a mess in his diapers and not on the floor. Now, the baby wasn't going to do it on the floor anyhow. The baby didn't have to do anything. The baby didn't have to eat. The baby didn't have to drink. The baby didn't have to do all the things. We teach them to do this. Mm. Now, just imagine if we were really masters and we taught our babies to be content with the allness that they are right now, and we just give them a lot of attention, because attention is what they really want. They're, Herb, you're talking crazy, crazy, crazy. I think someone ought to tie you up and put you away. You don't need food, you don't need water, you don't need air, you don't need these things, but this is what we train ourselves to need. And so, as we train ourselves to need it, then we have it, and we create it around ourselves. And so, when a baby is hungry, what is the baby saying to his mother? I want attention. I want attention. I want someone to come to play with me. I want someone. Rex, what does he do? He is constantly hanging out wherever people are. He doesn't mind our house, but it's just himself and myself. And it's not so active. But when he comes to the monastery, he's got five women who want to just play with him and be nice to him and do good things for him. He doesn't need treats. He's got the biggest treat in the world, people playing with him. Now, do you think he could survive with no food? No, because we've trained him to eat. We've trained him to need these things. Now, what we've said before, scientists say rats have been programmed that they don't need food, and that if they are on a near-starvation diet, they'll live seven lifetimes in healthy bodies and sexy and alive and vital and dynamic, you know. My goodness, wouldn't people love that, you know? Wouldn't people love to live seven lifetimes in a healthy body? Now, they say the lifetime today is 78 years or 80. So, say, 8 times 80 is 8, well, how many years? 88 is 64, right?
Yeah, 560.
560? 88 or 560 years? 560
no,
years.
No, 640. 640.
88 or 64? 640. Well, I thought so, but I didn't care. So, what difference would it make? If 640 years, neat, huh? And then, what happens when you're living 640 years? Then you're going to live another 640, maybe 1680, you know, double that, and maybe triple that, and maybe why die? And now, what are you doing in that living? You're living in your
ideal spirit, mind, body.
Is that healthy?
Yes.
Is it full of illnesses and needs and no. Wearing out, obsolescence stuff? No. Now, can we do that? Yeah. Do you have the guts to do that? And quite likely not. And the reason you don't have the guts to do it is you haven't had any example. Now, you think of that scientist. That scientist said what? The rat would live eight lifetimes. And he'd be sexy and healthy and fantastic. Eight lifetimes. Now, did the scientist say, doesn't seem to be anything bad about this. It doesn't seem like there'd be any side effects, you know, if I were to do that to myself. Why don't I practice something that I've learned from the mice, you know? Maybe it would be something for humans. Now, when are you going to do the experiment with the humans? Well, we'll have a experiment with the humans shortly, and we'll do this. We'll get 100 people in here to try that, you know, go on a starvation diet and near-starvation diet and do this and do that. And do you believe it's going to work? Maybe. Do you believe it's going to work? Well, it works on the mice. Do you believe it's going to work? Well, got a good chance of working. Do you believe it's going to work? Do you want to spend 8 years or eight lifetimes with these people and seeing them do this? Do you think that you're going to be around to take care of them, to see them living through these each of these eight lifetimes and in their healthy, sexy bodies? You're going to be around? Only if you do it too. Only if you go on the diet too. But I love to eat. You see? I love to drink. I love to socialize. I love parties. Let's party. And as though you think the party has to have food with it, you know. And that's what a party for us is, you know. And, what would happen? You take 1,000 people and put them on this program. What would happen? They wouldn't need any doctors. 1,000 people needing no doctors. That would be something, wouldn't it? 1,000 people needing no food, no grocery store, you know? No farms to raise veggies and stuff. How interesting. No water plant, no springs or anything, you know? My goodness. And sexy. These 1,000 people, well,
They get sexier every year, more potent every year. And what are they going to be doing while they're so sexy? Having children. And so the 1,000 people over a short period of time would multiply and multiply. And would these 1,000 people raise their offspring on the program that they're taking, the near-starvation diet? Well, if that's all their children know, then that's what their children will do, and that's the way they'll go. But if they say, oh, I sure missed my chocolate cake, I sure missed this here, I missed party time where you, you know, get boozed up, and I miss all that stuff. Well, you see, if you allow yourself to think in the past, you're in trouble. Now, can you become accustomed to beautiful... Could you become accustomed to living on a desert island and having year-round temperature, maybe 80 degrees, beautiful palm trees, all the necessities of life there, you know, if you're still eating with food and water and stuff, and no clothes because you don't need it, and dum-da-dum-da-dum, and could you get used to not wearing clothes? Could you get used to not eating steak because you don't have it anymore?
Easy.
Yeah, sure. Well, why don't you do it?
Steak is easy.
Can you? Yeah, steak is easy. Yeah, you hear that? You hear that? Could you get used to not eating veggies? Yeah. Eating only what is available on the island, you know?
Well, I create the veggie island.
It's not your permission.
Okay.
And not, this is my story, not yours. You remember I told you a story with Dr. Sekhe? What did I tell you about him? He was assigned as a... what kind of doctor was that? Where people had a bad disease.
And leopard eye.
Leprosy.
Leprosy island.
Yeah, they had leprosy. And so he was assigned to go to this island where they all had leprosy. And the people were, you know, living to die. And they were losing arms and legs and noses and all that other sort of stuff. And so he went to the island, and he was a medical doctor. And when he got to the island, the entire staff, nurses, doctors, et al., said, "Goody, take over. We're going on vacation." So they hadn't been on vacation for a long time, years maybe. And so they all left, nurses and all, left him to take care of the whole thing himself. This is a story he tells. And, of course, he'll make it sound good. But so he walked around and looked at what was being done. He saw the foods that were used to feed the people, and he saw the canned goods, and he saw all the things that were, you know, utilized for their happiness and their health and have you. And the first thing he did, he took all of the canned goods and threw them in the sea. All of them. Then he took all of the frozen foods, you know, and threw them in the sea. He took all of the frozen veggies, threw them in the sea. And all he did was to feed the people on pineapples and coconuts. That's the primary foods they had. Oh, perhaps a few other little veggies that they had grown around. But just unnatural things. And within a six-month period, by the time the doctors returned to the island, all the people on the island were absolutely cured of leprosy. There was no leprosy whatsoever on the island. In fact, most of the people had been shipped back already. But no leprosy. Now, you say, that's outrageous. That's unbelievable. Well, why not? Why not? Do you know anybody who's got the guts to try something like that? How many Dr. Sekhes are there around here? Not many. He believed in what he believed, and he practiced it, and he had a health spa, the Golden Door, very famous. He had a number of other health spas down in Tecate, Mexico, and very successful. And what happened? his programs work. People were blessed by them, wonderfully blessed. Now, how could these people who had leprosy, who needed all of these drugs and all these foods and all these things, and he dumped them all in the ocean. I mean, he was like making them all commit suicide. And then, after he dumped it, and he had them do the dumping, and they dumped it off of barges so that it wouldn't be coming back into shore. And so, after they did the dumping, then he gathered them all around it, about 200 or 300 people there, and he told them, he said, the reason that you're sick is that you have a mental attitude which has destroyed you. And then you contribute to that with all of the foods that are contrary to your highest good. They're so toxic that they make your body so toxic that your body cannot heal itself. Now, we're going to go on a special healing diet, and I promise you, if you do everything I tell you to do and think the thoughts I tell you to think, you will be healed in no time. Well, from being out there to die and being out there with a choice of living, they all gave him their attention and they went home. Can you see? When you hear a story of mice that live 8 times their lifetime in healthy, sexy bodies, you know, believe it if you want to. And if you realize your thoughts are things and everything you think is something you demonstrate and bring about in your life, it's true. It's true. Now, how sincere are you in this? How sincere? I say to you, okay, let's try one little example right here. Carrots. One little example. Can't think of anybody. Well, let's manufacture somebody. Here is Mrs. Built Nice Rich Lady. She's got a good looking build and she's rich. But she's dying. She has, let's say, cancer, okay? And the cancer is whatever. They have different names for cancers for different things. Cancer of this, cancer of that, it doesn't matter, cancer is cancer. Now, cancer is actually a thought that has gone haywire. A thought that has told the stem cells in your body that they should manufacture in overabundance cells that are of no benefit to the body. And they just become a burden to the body. And so, Mrs. Gutrich here, standing there, and she says, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm coming to this healing university because I want to be healed. And we say, well, we don't heal people here. We teach you how to have the right mental attitudes so that you can bring about healing in your own life if you wish it. But it's you have to make the choice. So she says, well, I want to be healed. She says, all right. Now, you tell your body that you are now going to take a vacation. And you're going to take a vacation from all of the negative thinking that you ever had about your body. What do you think of your feet? Oh, they're always tired. My feet are always full of vitality. You know. What do you think of your eyes, nose, ears, all the rest of you? Oh, they, and she named all the problems. Nope. From now on, you're having a whole batch of 10,000 stem cells coming in to do their work in your body. And they want to know the new you. Now, who's the new you? I wish the new you, me, was whole and perfect. The new me was vital and dynamic. That I could spend some of this money that I got and enjoy it, you know, instead of leaving it to somebody else, you know. But I want to get out and enjoy these things. And so start saying, I live in my
ideal
spirit, mind, but it ain't so. That's good. 2 times 2 is not 4 to someone who believes that it's not 4. But when you start believing it is 4, then the truth is truth, see, here we come to that strange word again, the truth is that it is foreign. So, your body looks like it's not so good. But the truth is, your body is designed to be perfect. Your body is designed to have every organ, action, function in absolute magnificence. Right now, right this minute. And when you can start letting go of your old attitudes that your body ain't so good, then your body can begin to put on the show of being good, which is its normal activity. Now, are you ready for that? All right. If you're ready for that, then let go of those old thoughts that says it ain't so, and take on those new thoughts that say it is so. Okay. Now, well, how are you this morning? Oh, I didn't sleep. Shut your dirty old mouth. You're telling me that you didn't sleep well? What a dirty thing to say. Your stem cells should not hear that. Your stem cells should hear, I am vital, dynamic, alive. Every organ, action, function, my body is perfect. I'm fantastic. But I don't care about the buts. You get in there and you say that, and you say that, and you say that, and you say it till it drives you crazy. And pretty soon, you won't be thinking of driving yourself crazy. You'll say, hey, I feel good today. How'd you sleep last night? Oh, like a baby, you know. Like a baby with a full tummy. I didn't need anything. And when I woke up this morning, my pants were dry. Can you imagine that? My pants were dry, like a baby, you know. And I went to the bathroom and I was just perfect. My whole system operates in beautiful, harmonious ways. I am fantastic. Well, how was the movie that you watched last night, you know? And Bewitched. What did you think of that? Oh, that was so much fun to watch. And you know, I knew exactly what they were doing. They were thinking their thoughts, and they were bringing forth their thoughts into manifestation. And I'm going to watch very closely how they do it, because it's not a trick, but it's a matter of putting a cause in motion. That's right, that's right. Now, do that for yourself. What kind of body do you live in?
Ideal.
What kind of woman are you?
Ideal.
What kind of man do you run around with?
Ideal man.
And what kind of man did you marry? Well, which one?
No.
Are you an ideal woman?
Yes.
Can you marry an unideal man?
No.
All right, then. All the unideal men that you remember in your past are no longer there. Now, as you think of anything in your life, it's ideal. And you are ideal. And you're whole and perfect, and you're wonderful, and you're fantastic, and you're glorious, and you are thinking that it's just about time for you to go back to work. Isn't that wonderful? Now, think about this. Think about this. Think about this. Think about this. It's up to you to put the cause in motion for your wholeness and perfection right now. Not for that lady. But that lady came here, and what was her condition?
She was whole and perfect.
Yes. She came here, she was whole. She saw herself a different way, but that's her problem. We saw her whole and perfect, which was the truth. And did we say, hey, come on, get your act in order? You don't come into the temple of the living God and express the dead God. There's no such thing as a dead God. You don't come into the temple of the living God and express anything but the temple of the living God. The temple of wholeness and purity and rightness and goodness and truth. No. Isn't that right? Okay. So, what happened to Mrs. Gotrich?
She's whole
and perfect. I said, what happened to her? She always was whole and perfect, but I mean, what happened to her?
She got richer and more beautiful every day.
She decided to become a monk in the Absolute Monastery and donate all of her money to the Absolute Monastery so that other people could come up here and have her experience. Because she didn't need anything anymore.
Exactly.
Do you know that rich gal, that rich bitch, you know, that rich gal, you know what she did? She thought to herself, I think I could enjoy a new wardrobe. And so then, blink, there was a new wardrobe. Blink. No store to buy it from. no money to pay for it, no nothing. It's just there. I think I would like to go to town, but I want to go to town in a limousine. I just feel like a limousine today, a white limousine. And so, zip, there's your white limousine. You drive to town. But Silvio wasn't listening to you. Silvio said, I think I'll go to town. I just like walking up and down the beach. And so Silvia is at the beach. She's walking up and down the beach. She's dressed in her swimming suit or whatever she wants to be dressed in. Yeah, wiggle her nose. And then when Sylvia's done with her beach experience, she thinks the campus and boom, she's back. She thinks whatever she wants to do, she's done. Well, meanwhile, our rich lady is riding in her big white limousine and having a great time, having a little difficulty going around corners, you know, but in this long limousine. And she comes back here and she said, oh, it was wonderful, but I'm so exhausted. And so he said, what did you do? Well, I drove to town and I went to the beach and I walked up and down the beach just having a great time, but the waves kept ripping out from underneath my seat, my feet, the riptide was there. And I saw this woman that looked just like Silvia, but it was great. But because Silvia chose to see herself there enjoying it, she was not tired. She could go on for a million years like that. Whereas our rich lady was always seeing herself in the SOP, standard operating procedure, always seeing herself with a car to go someplace, with clothes to go someplace, with things. And Sylvia just visualized herself wherever she wanted to visualize herself, wearing whatever clothes she felt was fun to wear for that purpose, and she was there. And she came home, and she was not tired. She was just happy as a lark. But our rich lady, she had a few more things to learn. She realized she lives in her ideal spirit, mind, and body, but now she wants to do what? Be
there.
Myself
and have fun.
She wants to learn to be herself and have fun. And who's teaching her how to do that? Ingeborg. Ingeborg's teaching her how to do it. Ingeborg said, the only way to be yourself and have fun is just do whatever turns you on. And whatever turns you on is harmonious with where you live and what you do and the community you're in and the world you're in. And everything is beautiful. So that's who you are. And that's who I am. And that's what we are. And isn't that a wonderful
way to live?
Inspiration, illumination.
Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful illumination?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way to live, yeah, that's for sure. Instant illumination. So have fun, be yourself, and enjoy life, and know that I love you, 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 I love you.